Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we are joined by a pair of representatives from the Tuolumne County Business Council. We're talking about the greater issue of business growth and development. We're joined in studio by Ron Kopp, who is the executive director of the Tuolumne County Business Council, as well as Jeff Radowdy, who is the group's co-chair. Mr. Kopp, I'll pose this next question to you. On the issue of affordable housing, we hear a lot recently about the skyrocketing price of housing in Tuolumne County, other areas of California as well, but especially a lack of rentals in this county as well. So, you know, what do you see as kind of the reason why housing is going up in price and becoming so hard to find?
Well, BJ, you're right that the housing, we are running out of housing stock that's below 200,000. When you look at the last Tuolumne County Association of Realtors MLS listing, they were just showing that from last year to this year, our housing stock of housing under 200,000 declined by 25%. And it's very difficult to build affordable housing in a rural area and California as a whole for a number of reasons. One, just up in our rural area, we have a lot of topography, we have a lot of natural vegetation, we have a lot of streams and wetlands, which reduce the amount of land that is viable. And we talked about the CEQA process, and it makes sure that you have adequate setbacks from streams and that you address all the vegetation. We have a lot of endangered species and different plants. So you, as rightly you have to avoid a lot of those things when you're doing. So the amount of available land that is well suited for development is very far and few between. We need to encourage infill development, but when you look at that, even with the process of doing the infill development, by the time you do all the studies, you do the environmental reports, you do the cultural resources reports, you go through the whole process at the county and deal with the zoning and the general plan issues, the community plan issues, that you have to spend, you know, tens if not hundreds of thousands of dollars with your consultants to put that in place. And then that usually takes at least a couple of years to put something like that in place. So meanwhile, you have all your land carrying costs and other things with it. So then after you've got that approval in place, then you have to put all your infrastructure in place. You have to put your water and sewer infrastructure in place. You have to put your roads. You have to tie that in with the county. And you have a lot of fees that are associated just with the site development, and you haven't even built the home yet. Then when you try and go build the home, you have a lot of building permit fees where you're paying your school mitigation fees, your county growth and government fees, your building permit fees, which are on a square footage basis, which on a 1,500 square foot house or somewhere between $35,000 and $50,000 just for the house and fees alone after you've covered all the additional costs. So it's very expensive to develop that type of housing. And, you know, people will often say, well, you know, the developers are just trying to earn too much money. Well, you know, there's no corner on the market for somebody to be a developer. So if some of these opposition groups want to get involved in real estate development or go build some housing and then try and show us how that can be done more cost effectively, we would welcome the opportunity to be educated on that.
A different perspective, Ron, is in BJ, is not thinking about building affordable housing initially. So right now, I think the only affordable housing built in this county in the last number of years have been four homes a year by Habitat for Humanity on Parrots Ferry Road in Columbia. Another perspective is if we build homes that are a higher end home, that will attract buyers who may be in affordable homes right now and allow those homes to be freed up for somebody who can afford those homes. So another way to look at this is to build above the affordable home level and draw the market up into that level. I'm sure there's a number of people in this county who would love and have the ability to purchase a new home. They're waiting for somebody to have that home available. Once they go ahead and purchase that new home, that frees up their home to be purchased by somebody else. From a county perspective, that from a tax revenue, that's a very good thing, as whenever a home trades hands, the tax base increases relative to its new value, not the historical value on the house. So it's an everything is connected kind of perspective, where I get excited about a total of 8 new homes being permitted here in the last 6 months, because I just view it as that's 8 new homes that will make somebody happy. That's 8 potentially affordable homes that will be freed up for somebody who can afford homes at that level. And that may then free up 8 apartments that are affordable for folks looking for a better apartment. So we can look at it from two different perspectives. One is lowering the cost and being able to build affordable homes at the price point that is required. The other is just additional rooftops in the housing business will allow people to move up as they desire and free up homes that are more affordable.
Ken Ronkoff?
Yeah, it's also, you know, sort of known as the housing ladder. So you're absolutely correct. It creates those vacancies so then people can move up. I mean, our legislature was very active in trying to figure out ways to make housing more affordable and figure out ways to get different government subsidies. We can make that work. The real issue is just try and simplify the process and make it easier for people to build. You still want to deal with all the environmental issues. You want to make sure you do it correctly. But coming up with additional government subsidies just to do it where you're adding prevailing wage and a bunch of overhead costs to that is not the answer either. So some of the recent Senate bills, although they're a step in the right direction, what it really needs to do is rather than give you some money and then make you pay a whole lot more in the cost to put it together, which tends to negate it, is we really just need to let the market provide some of that additional housing without all the encumbrances.
Taking into account all these different topics we've been talking about, you know, what do you feel that the county should really be focusing on right now when it comes to facilitating more economic vitality?
I think the key is to make the process to improve this county as easy as possible. We clearly have very stringent state regulations. We feel we don't need to go above and beyond that at a county level. We need to make sure that anybody that is proposing a new development in this county follows the rules clearly, but then has a relatively straightforward and quick path to completing their project. When you're in trying to do anything new, time is money. And the quicker you can complete your project, the quicker you can start to earn revenue and profit from that project in order to pay back the money you've put out originally. So having a streamlined process in the county, I think, would help tremendously to see a lot more new rooftops in this county, whether it be new businesses or new residences.
Mm-hmm. Ron Kopp?
I know that the county is looking at the general plan, which has to be updated. It's about 20 years old. It had a lot of old, outdated programs in place in it. I know a lot of the groups that are very active and involved in how they want to see this county grow. There are a number of ways that they can get involved in that planning process. It's very difficult for have someone to go through 2 years of planning for a project and then have someone show up at the 11th hour and say, I want you to change the whole process. So when you're looking at different commercial developments and the Pedro Y that was looking to put the prompt care and other things with it, that took a long time to develop how that was going to be put in place. So just to come at the 11th hour, what you really want to do is get involved in how that general plan is adopted, the rules and regulations. So when you're looking at it, you know what your blueprint is that you're going to follow. And then if you follow that, you should be able to get your project entitled and move forward with it.
Jeff Redowdy, going back to that Pedro Y project, it seems like sometimes at county meetings when lawsuits are filed, people make the argument that it's a threat to the rural way of life as opposed to, you know, looking at, you know, whether the project meets the requirements and so forth. So what's kind of your reaction when you hear people say that, you know, here in the community?
Yes, I would definitely replace the word threat to the rural way of life to enhancing the rural way of life. Let's take that's a great project, a great example. Talking about having a Ready Med Center there at the Pedro Y, I've got 50 people on site in Columbia every day. If there is a medical issue, I much prefer them to go to the Pedro Y in a matter of minutes than up to Angels Camp or into Sonora. And those minutes can make a big difference. So having more services available, I think, enhances the lives of our residents, not subtracting from them. So I couldn't disagree more with somebody who feels that anything new in the county is detracting from our way of life. It really improves our way of life.
Ron Kopp, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got a different version of what our rural quality of life is. When you look at some of the old-time families that you talk to somebody that's a third generation, I mean, they remember it before a stoplight or anything else. A lot of these people that are now saying, I don't want it to change, they moved up here and then it's, you know, how do we close the door behind us? But what's happening when you have a lack of economic growth is our county can't balance their budget to provide the core services that we need. We have an aging population and they need more medical services. They need more of the core services. When you look at the last county budget, they were talking about reducing some of the funding for the kids' sports programs, for the library, for some of the other goods and services. And if we have some economic growth, then it makes it much easier to make sure that these things can stay in place. Also, a lot of our kids that are trying to stay here, they need the jobs that they can stay forward, and we'd like to have them stay up here to enjoy this rural quality of life rather than having to move somewhere else.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with representatives from the Tuolumne County Business Council on this weekend show, talking about the issue of business growth and development. We're joined in studio by Jeff Radowdy, who is the co-chair of the Business Council, as well as Ron Kopp, who is the executive director. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll return with our final segment in just a minute.